Would you go please to Revelation chapter 1 tonight? Those of us that would pride ourselves as being students of the Word and love to get into the Bible and dig things out and love to read and study as you are being pushed to do in these courses. It's all about getting to know the Lord better and getting into His Word, enjoying the blessing of His Word. Just want to look at chapter 1 and verse 3 to start with there. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So these words of the scriptures, of prophecy, are important for us, and there is a blessing. If we'll get into the book of Revelation, if we'll get into the word of God, the Lord promises to bless us. So many Christians are impoverished, they're dry and weary, and they're just not nourished in the Word. And we have the wonderful privilege, don't we, of being nourished in the Word, of reading and hearing, not only the reading of it, but the hearing of the preaching of the Word of God, and especially when it comes to prophetic themes, they're always a blessing and help us to understand the days that we are in. These are amazing days that we are in. They are terribly dark days on the one hand, as the judgment of God moves against sinners, against the world and its system, but as the blessing of God moves among his ancient people and preparing for the things that are yet to come. We don't need to get down about the prophetic things that are happening around the world, whether it be climate change or whatever it might be. We don't have to get down about those things, the troubles of the Middle East. We can look up because our redemption draweth nigh. Amen. And we can rejoice in the Lord in that matter. Now please go over to chapter 22. So there's a real blessing if we study the Word of God and get into the Word of God. We are reminded in chapter 22 that there are some dangers that we need to be careful about. In chapter 22, in verse number 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you the things in the churches. So the angel of the Lord is testifying these things. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star, our Lord himself. This is the prophecy of our Lord Jesus. Verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Whosoever, whosoever. It doesn't say the elect, if they come, whatever. But it says whosoever. We're whosoever's. Amen? Just a whosoever. And God saves whosoever's. He saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. He's able to save and to keep. And we are among those that enjoy that as redeemed. And then in verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in the book. And then the Lord says, behold, I come quickly. So there is a challenge here. Not to add to and go beyond what the scriptures teach, and also not to trim what the scriptures teach. It's popular in these days for the additions to the Word of God, and all the modern versions take the liberty of doing that and adding in things which they say give meaning, but then give an opposite meaning to what the Word of God says. So there's a danger in that, of taking things away. Or adding things to. So be careful of that. When you're studying and you're reading and You are called upon to read and study and look at what some scholars have said. And let me tell you right now, not all the scholars are right all the time. In fact, you'll often find that the very thing that you want advice from the scholars on, and the very text that you're looking for answers on, you look in those commentaries and things, and it's not even there. Especially if it's in what they call a controversial area. And what is a controversial area? Well, there's so many more controversial areas now than there used to be. And things that ought not to be controversial are made to be controversial. And things that ought to be accepted because they're in the Word of God, that's where it counts, isn't it? I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book, in this book. So that explains a lot of the trouble in the nations of the world, doesn't it? If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, be careful, because it's popular to trim some things off, which again have entered under the controversy, on the controversial list, which they ought not. Be careful. Don't start trimming the word of God or trimming out certain parts of the prophecy of the book, and stick to what the word of God says. And do not be foolish enough to fall into the trap of believing what every scholar has to say, or even good Christian. We need to be careful of this. Even a good Christian missionary, we need to be careful of what we may be being told when we have the Word of God on it. I think it's as simple as this when it comes to the reality of the Christian life. When you get saved, what happens? God gives you the book, amen? I didn't even have a Bible when I got saved and was led to Christ through the Romans Rite, the old-fashioned sinner's prayer, crying out to the Lord. And I sold my rock and roll records and bought a Bible. Amen. I didn't know I should have had an Ephesian bonfire. Hey, why not? Because, brothers and sisters, I was ignorant of the Word of God. And be careful with this when you're leading people to Christ. And you ask them to pray something that they may be saved. If they're Bible illiterate and ignorant, they might pray that their big toe gets better or uncle gets well. They need to be instructed, I believe, in what is rightful, the sinner's prayer, and how to repent and receive what God has given to us. And I'm glad that was well explained the night that I got saved. So taking away is a dangerous thing. When we start trimming back and taking away this, no longer doing this or no longer doing that because some scholar said so. Hold on a minute. We don't let the scholars nip bits out of our Bible. Schleiermacher, the great infamous German theologian, said when he went through the Bible and took out everything that he thought was not the Word of God, and he held up a few pages like that, and he said, "Gentlemen, this is the Word of God." Turkey, cut everything out. You know, and there's a danger in that. Be careful of that sort of thing, and to make sure that we're building in the Word of God. And I like to think, since the day I got saved, it was the Lord and I and the Bible. I didn't have any time for those wacky scholars, you know. I just wanted to read the Bible and study the Word. Amen. And memorize the Word of God and just get into the Word. And what a blessing. And I think that's how it ought to be in our Christian life. We should examine everything that we do according to the Word of God. And remembering, of course, we are New Testament believers. Okay, so we're in the New Testament, ratified through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are called upon to follow the Lord and to follow the example of those that have gone on before, the foundation, the apostles' doctrine, and so forth. We are to stay within those boundaries. Yes. And to follow the Lord and stay in the Word and do what we do on the basis of the Word of God. And we should stay there. But that's a safe place according to the word of God, because if we're following those that have added something to, or we're going with those that have trimmed something off, either way, we're not in a good shape. We need to be in the word of God and on the word of God and following the word of God. Some people think that these words here are spoken of in the book of Revelation 22 are mainly to do with the prophecy of Revelation. But I want to remind you of something. Way back in the Old Testament is this verse first found. And I had it written down somewhere in these notes where this verse was first found, going back into Deuteronomy. Let's see if I wrote it over on my backup page over here. And it's not there either. But the book of Deuteronomy says the same thing. Deuteronomy, there it is, 12:32. I'm looking right at it. I'm having a man look, looking right at it. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32. And again, it's referring to the believer's attitude toward the word of God, the book of God. And I wonder if we've got someone there. Brother Josh, can you read it for us, please?
Deuteronomy 12:32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it.
All right, in the Old Testament, with all those different laws that God gave to the Jews there in the Old Testament, and the ways they were to follow, the different offerings and different ways they were to worship in the Old Testament time, they were not to add to the word of God or take away. It's a principle, isn't it? Mm. A principle of God. And that is a liberal scholar is somebody who takes away. There's always got a downgraded, wishy-washy interpretation of something. And it doesn't matter what the subject might be, you'll get this. It is sad to say in modern times, the independent Baptist movement is infiltrated by people like that. So we must be careful as well. Just because it's brother such and such that wrote a book such and such, test it by the what? The word of God. Is this what the word says? Is this what we're taught in the word of God? Or are these the thoughts of man, the ideas of man? Over into Matthew chapter 7, wonderful contrast and illustration that the Lord gave of two kinds of people. And I suggest to you that there are two kinds of Christians in the world today. Two kinds of Christians. One, whom according to the word of God is not saved. It's religious, but not saved. And the other one is someone that is building in the right way. And here we are challenged to be doers of the word. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. This is not teaching a work salvation, but it's saying that if a person believes in the Lord and they have had a new birth, then their life is going to be different. They're going to be changed. They are going to be different. In verse 24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. So here's a person that's in the word of God, taking in the word of God, and the natural outworking is that they are living out these wonderful truths of righteousness. Amen. And holiness, and they are moving along. And the wisdom here is that that person, it says, is building upon the rock. Building upon the rock. Building upon the rock is building your life upon the foundation of Christ and, of course, his precious word. He has revealed to us. So building on the rock is that way. The foolish man is foolish because he doesn't have the foundation. He may be doing a lot of things. He may have been doing religious good works, you know, doing a lot of religious things, a lot of kneeling and prayers and all sorts of things. But if that life is not built upon Christ, built upon the sand, verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, listen, he doesn't do them, hears them but doesn't do them, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now what is the sand? the sand are the opinions of men and not God. They're the doctrines of men and not God. So we must be very careful then that we don't get gypped into building on the sands. Now, as a bit of an amateur builder, a bit more than that, but got to build on a good foundation. Now, in this case, the foundations are the subterranean sands. Somebody that builds, and the concept here is the unsecured sands of a riverbed or a watercourse. Those unsecured sands and building there. Now, councils have allowed in the last 20 years people to build on what we would have considered to be lowlands and floodplains. And because of the greed of, I think, councillors, that often they control the thing, they own the land and control the zoning, and they manipulate and massage the way in which lands come available. And no, there's a lot of corruption in this. It was revealed, especially in the Wollongong area, over 100 projects were not being proceeded with because they hadn't made a donation to the Labor Party. So there's a manipulation of the lands and the available lands that come out. And here in this day and age, I think it's probably typical of a foolish man. People want to grab a cheap block and build on it. Somebody was raving on recently. They said they had a real bargain. They got a real bargain of a block they're going to build on. Oh, right. What's the bargain? Well, it's pretty low-lying and it floods occasionally. Boy, it's a bargain. It ain't no bargain. Because you'll have to build a boat there instead of a house, okay? Or you'd have to be like Noah, you know. But we've got to be careful of this foolishness which starts building upon sands, people's opinions, and different things like that, and not the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the rock. Notice the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. I was at Parramatta on Saturday afternoon intending to wash my car because I'd picked up all these little creatures all over the car, you know, on my trip across the hay plain and all. Thought I'd go down there and deal with that, but the clouds were rolling in and I was there long enough to get the high pressure thing onto some of that stuff, and then all of a sudden, clap, bang, thunder, boom, and this rain came pouring down, the wind swirling around and things were taking off in the air. Oh, all over Sydney Saturday afternoon, that storm hit. I'm sure that there were some buildings, there were some homes and things, some sheds that took off and fell, and great was the fall thereof. And we've heard of this so often, haven't we? But that's a picture of lives, of people that are building the wrong way, not on the word of God. And they try and follow the philosophies of man and the ideas that are prevalent in the world today, only to find themselves in a terrible mess. They find themselves, when the storms come, when the real life issues come in, break in on the scene, that things fall flat and lives are ruined in the process. So we are called upon not to trim off the faith, the things that we are not perhaps familiar with or not sure about. We need to be careful that we don't start trimming things because of the queer quirks of history, because of bad doctrines in the past or bad practices in the past. We need to be careful not to do trimming because of our limited views on what it means to live by faith or someone else's ideas about the faith. We need to be careful not to be trimming because of the excess and the bad motives of some churches and believers. Just because Hillsong sing wild rock songs doesn't mean that we no longer sing the songs of Zion, amen? We just sing them Bible way, amen? Simple as that. So also, we cannot trim different things out of our biblical living because of different viewpoints concerning different matters. Our guide and foundation is Christ and the book. We have to say, it is not the Spirit. and the book. Because the danger today is that people say, the Spirit said to do this. Huh? The Spirit said, and God says, the Spirit said I should make my wife my assistant pastor. She can preach as well as I can. Who said? The Spirit said. What does the book say? Amen. One given church, there was the minister and his wife, and in the congregation was the assistant minister and his wife. And on the Sunday morning, the leading pastor stood up and said, the Spirit has told me that this woman is now going to be my wife. And it was the wife of his assistant. And that the assistant was going to have my wife. The Spirit told him. Which spirit, brothers and sisters? That sounds like a sandy one, doesn't it? It's on the slippy slide. No wonder that whole church got into terrible financial debt. And Hillsong came along to bail them out. Well, there's a challenge then, isn't there, in the Word of God, for us to know the Word and to be in the Word and to be foundationing on the Lord Jesus and the Word. To question everything according to the Word. To establish principles and behaviours in our lives that are scriptural, that are biblical. Of course, we have the wonderful example of the saints that have gone on before. As you read your New Testament, churches that have gone on before, things that God taught through them. The Word of God then is to be our foundation. And we are going to continue in the Word of God. Jesus said, he that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly.
Amen.
So it'll all be over sooner than we think. And how sad for those that have been foolish enough to follow the modern things and build on the sands, for them to discover that they have no foundation in Christ. And what does the Lord say? Depart from me, I never knew you.
Amen.
So therefore it's so important, isn't it, for us to be in the Word of God. And to teach the Word of God to another generation and to those that we win, that they're discipled and taught soundly
Amen.
In the Word of God.
Amen.
Stick to the book.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.